And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. Each week, we bring you entrepreneurs that we showcase in the Idaho region. This week, I'm excited to bring somebody that I would guess if you've been in business very long in Idaho, you recognize the name Kitty Fleshman. Kitty is the former owner of
the Idaho Business Review.
The Idaho Business Review.
I was a co-owner.
Co-owner. Mm-hmm. And is currently the editor and publisher of the Idaho Magazine. So welcome, Kitty.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be here.
Well, the Idaho Magazine, I think, is one of our lesser-known treasures in Idaho. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, I would highly recommend that you go to their website. The website is idahomagazine.com, idahomagazine.com. And you can get a look at some of the magazines that are published. The thing I love about looking at your magazine, Kitty, is that you showcase areas of Idaho that to many of us would be unknown. So tell us a little bit about your passion regarding Idaho and the Idaho Magazine.
I've been here now for, I guess, 34 years. I got here in 1981. I met my husband in Alaska, and he is a sixth-generation Idahoan. His mom's family homesteaded and farmed out in Payette since the 1870s.
Wow.
And his dad's family were up in the Hell's Canyon area around the turn of the last century. Wow. And then they were in Gooding and Wendell after that, and they farmed and they had sheep ranches up there. My father-in-law died about 3 years ago. He was 99 and a half.
Whoa.
And he had lived his whole life here. He was certainly a passionate Idaho, and I do our Facebook page, and I was telling someone today, he designed the Whitebird Bridge. He was a bridge designer for the Idaho Transportation Department, and he was a graduate of the University of Idaho. He started there in 1928.
Whoa. Wow.
And he was extremely deaf. He had fallen downstairs as a child, and he had measles about the same time, and they weren't sure what caused it, but he had tremendous hearing loss. I think it was 85 or 90% hearing loss. And he got through school in Wendell by sitting at the front of the classroom, and the teachers were very compassionate, and they would make sure he heard and understood. But he said when he started college, they don't do that.
Right.
You're there and you get it.
You better keep up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he went, I'm not sure if he went one semester or 1 year, but he knew he couldn't make it. And so he ended up going back to the farm, and he worked on the farm and on the tending the sheep and so forth for 8 years. And they finally came out with a really good hearing aid, and he was able to go back to college. He graduated from U of I in 1943.
Wow.
He was quite a character. He designed the only bridges that didn't go down when the Teton Dam blew out.
Wow.
And he had told them ahead of time the dam wasn't going to work the way they had it. But they did it that way anyway. But the bridges that he had designed stayed up through that disaster. And then later he designed the Whitebird Bridge, and he told them there were some problems they were building into that, weren't listening to him.
Yeah.
When they built it, it was a mess. There were quite a few problems with it. So he ended up actually going up to Whitebird and camping out for the summer while he supervised the rebuild of the bridge.
Wow.
So he was, he was quite a stubborn old guy. You know, they always talk about the Basque sheep herders, but I always tell people my father-in-law was a German shepherd. So.
That's hilarious.
He did that for a lot of his life.
And I love that.
He was quite a character.
So, Kitty, what drew you to the Idaho Magazine? What made you decide to buy that publication?
Oh, it wasn't. There was nothing to buy.
Oh, you started it from the ground up?
Yes, I started both the Business Review and Idaho Magazine, ground up.
You've got ink in your blood.
I do. it's something that I've always been really impressed. Volney was very instrumental in coming up with the idea, my father-in-law, with the idea for the magazine. We took he and his youngest brother one time on a little train trip, and they were talking about their father, who had been here herding wild horses before the turn of the last century. And then he was mining gold up at Hell's Canyon at the turn of the last century. And I met my husband when he was mining gold for a summer in Nome. And I said to him, I didn't know your grandfather did that, did you? And he didn't. He didn't know his grandfather did. And then we had a friend who had an antique store, and he'd have boxes and boxes of these beautiful old photos in there. And I looked through them one time, and I said, how can people sell their old family photos? And he said, there's nothing written on them. Nobody knows who they are. They're junk. And it broke my heart to think of these stories that are lost and these photos that have turned into junk over the years because nobody knows it. And that is so valuable because when you think about today, how hard it is to make a living in Idaho, think of what it was back in those years. And Jerry's mom's family has this house out near the Snake River in Payette. There are photos in the family album over the years of the water coming up right to the house. It's on a little knoll. And the water comes right up to the house. Oh. It has only had water come into the house a couple times since the 1860s. And here are boats all tied up around it. Huh. But they picked a good spot.
They did,
and,
didn't they?
And they've done real well farming over there. And it's still in the family.
So how many? What's the circulation of the Idaho Magazine? How many subscribers do you have?
Well, actual subscribers, we have probably about 2,600, I think.
Wow, that's pretty good.
But the readership is much higher than that.
Yeah.
And there are more than five people reading each copy from what we can tell.
So.
And there are a lot of our copies that go to libraries and waiting rooms and lobbies and things like that or places where they're shared. We have a lot of them that go to schools. And if you go to our website and look around, you'll notice that a lot of teachers have given us lesson plans based on our magazines. And John Beter at Boise State, who does teacher education, has worked with people and had them work on lesson plans for our magazines. Because a lot of our material is historical. They are not stories that you've heard. If you go to our website, you can go to the Read tab. And if you go to the Read tab, you can read 16 of our issues that someone has sponsored, and they're online in their entirety. You'll see that the stories are not the things you hear and know. And a lot of what we look for when we solicit material for the magazine, we look for the kind of stories that people would tell around the dinner table on Thanksgiving. And those are the kind of things that we have in the magazine. And it's a lot of it is history. A lot of it is a matter of heritage and saving those things that would be lost. And there have been times, there was one issue, you know how they say that a lot of older people will hang on until after the first of the year and then die.
Yeah.
And we've had several times where there was one year, three people who wrote for our January issue died before it was actually printed.
Oh, really? Wow.
So it was something where, you know, they were hanging on and just beautiful stories. And I'm so glad that we have been able to save them.
I think it's very cool that most of your authors, you don't have any paid reporters.
Well,
right?
They're paid for their stories.
Oh.
We have no staff reporters. We have zero photographers and zero reporters on our staff. All of the materials we use come in from people. It isn't that they aren't paid. Everybody who's worked for us has been paid for it.
Yeah.
But we don't pay a lot. I always tell them, Don't plan on this paying your retirement, but we do pay for the work they give us. But they are not on our staff. It is all freelance because one of the things we badly want is we want things from all over Idaho in every issue. Because typically what's happened over the years is that someone will start an Idaho this or an Idaho that. It's all Boise. If you're in Boise, it's very hard to reach out to Coeur d'Alene or Ledore or Dubois or places like that.
Right.
You can't cover Idaho from Boise. When I first came to Idaho from Alaska, I worked for a while for United Press International. I tell people UPI and they think I drove a big brown truck. When I worked for UPI, I did what they called beat checks around the state every day. I would call Twin Falls and Idaho Falls and Bonner's Ferry and Sandpoint every single day and get stories from all these places all over the state. One of the things I learned very early on is that they are all so different. Their history is different, their heritage is different, and their outlook is different. There are things with the magazine that we have asked people to send us. And one of the stories that you can read online is about mudslides, avalanches, and rock slides. Wow. And as an editor, it's something you wouldn't think to assign that to someone.
No.
And if you did, they'd probably come up with one or two sources that may or may not have known much about
it.
But the fellow that wrote the article that we have online, and it's in the June, I think it's 2005, but it's in one of our issues online, and you can read the whole thing, and the photos are incredible. He was from a family that had worked for several generations for the highway department, clearing these rock slides and avalanches.
So he knew firsthand.
Oh, yes. And the story he wrote is just amazing.
Awesome. So if you'd like to know more about Idaho Magazine, go to www.idahomagazine.com. That's idahomagazine.com. Kitty Fleshman is our featured guest today. And Kitty, I sure you are an engaging storyteller.
Oh, thank you.
I have really enjoyed having you on the program. If you would like more information, you can reach us at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. I'll be back just after this break for the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour.